Welcome to the after party. It's time to change. You're just getting started. You can teach an old dog new ways, and not just on Saturday.
Hi, you guys. It's Anna David with After Party Pod. I just started this and then I hated what I said and I stopped it. Fuck. Progress, not perfection. I'm working on accepting myself as I am. But I'm recording this right now, hot on the tails of my guest having left the room slash the interview, because she was so fun and I enjoyed it so much. And I know it's like, it would be like saying that I love my cat Lily more than I love my cat Toby, which honestly I do, but you're not supposed to pick favorite guests, but this, I'm just going to tell you right now, you haven't listened to this one. This is one of my favorite guests. I just met her-ish. Her name is Mo Gaffney. You know her. You may not know me, and you're here because of her. If that's the case, I respect you immensely, because God, was she fun. God, very, very funny woman. You know her. She launched to stardom with the Kathy and Mo show with her friend Kathy Najimy. I feel like I just said that wrong. So the Kathy and Mo show was off Broadway, and then it was on HBO, and then it won Obie Awards. I mean, the whole deal, you know. And then she was on That 70s Show, and she and Ab Fab and Mad About You, and so she's done a lot, but what I knew, I had her, she has a podcast, go listen to it, The Momo Show. It's a delightful podcast, I'm a listener, and she does it with Morgan Walsh, previous podcast guest, Morgan Walsh, and I heard about them because Laura House, who you may remember from the very first episode, was originally the co-host of this show. Anyway, I'm rambling a little bit, but I knew about her, and then I thought I could never get her. And then I thought, you know, I bet you she doesn't even talk about, you know, I don't know, you Google her name and alcoholism, nothing comes up. And I'm like, I feel stupid. And I reached out and it happened, and, you know, it was just good. You'll get it all from her in a minute. But it was just one of these, a lot of times with these conversations, I'm very conscious of the fact that we're sitting in my office and I'm asking questions of either a stranger or an acquaintance. And I got to get everything. I got to get, like, when they were born and when did they have their first drink? Are their family members alcoholic? And what happened next? And what were the dark years like, and all of this? And this was just so natural. And I forgot I was, even in a conversation, I certainly forgot I was hosting a podcast, whatever. Really a delightful woman. So you're about to find all that out. I don't have anything to tell you because I just recorded the intro to the previous episode, like the other day. And so I'm sorry for you, or I'm happy for you. I have nothing new to report, except that I didn't sleep at all last night. Just like a combination of things, you know, nothing bad, weirdly good things that made me unable to sleep. But I am a lunatic when I don't sleep. I mean, I basically should not be allowed in a car, around people, any of those things. And so I was doing that. I went to Denny's for breakfast. That's a decision I would never make in a clear state of mind. I ordered the Grand Slam, like I ate every bite. And then I was just like, I don't even think I can do this interview. But I'm enlivened by having spoken to Mo Gaffney. But make no mistake, I am turning this recorder off and I'm going home, and I'm taking to my bed, as they would say probably in the Victorian age. But I'm going to take to my bed with my computer and keep working on After Party Chat, your favorite website. If it's a website you've never heard of, go to it. We have amazing articles about addiction, recovery. They're funny. They're sweet. You laugh, you cry. Essays, experts answering questions, interviews. Did I say that? News blogs. Anyway, check that out. But first, check out everything about Mo Gaffney and enjoy this interview with her.
I first started taking drugs by chewing blocks of hash.
Oh my God, I think my copy has like blood stains on it from shooting up while reading it.
Party animal, I hate to say that because that makes me sound Paris Hilton-y. I was on the, as I call it, the Autobahn to Nowhere.
I'm very lucky, because would you have wanted to have a celebrity junkie for a dad?
You know, I only have to be anonymous about everybody else's.
I agree.
I don't have to be anonymous about my own.
I agree. People seem to get very confused about that, though, don't you think?
Well, I think a lot of people... We can talk about it on the air.
We're talking
about it on the air. Okay. I think a lot of people... for instance, when I first got sober, I'm in like one of my first meetings with my friend Shauna, who was my, as we say in the biz, Eskimo. No idea where that comes from. But
I know where that comes from.
Where does it come from?
Well, I can't tell the tale, but it's something, I've heard somebody much smarter than me tell the tale. They're like, well, you know that in this tale comes from, you know, I'm going to look it up. And when I post this episode, I'm going to post a
look
link
it
to
up.
It. Anyway, there's an origin.
I love a good link. Anyways, so we went to like my second meeting or something and got home. And it was the night that Pat, you know who Pat O'Brien is?
He's been on this podcast.
Well, it was the night
his scandal.
Yeah. Well, when he on TV said whatever he said, he was like, I think he did a serenity prayer or something. And people are all up in arms because, you know, and he was like, my 12-step program and blah, 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 AA. And because they thought, here's this really famous guy that's on the TV all the time, and what if he falls off the wagon and
right.
it looks bad for AA? And so I kind of think, well, yeah, but it looks bad anyway for alcoholics. It's not like we're a group of people that people really look up to. You know, when we're sober, we're great. You know, and we have, in my opinion, we're not trouble.
Right.
But, you know,
well, but that's the other thing. I find that argument that it'll look bad for AA if you say you're in AA.
Well, not look bad for AA, but look not attractive to people
right.
who are drunk and want to come in and be sober. I don't mean it looks bad for AA itself.
No, and I was jumping from there to what I will hear people say like,
right.
to me, and it's sort of like, well, wait a minute. Do you hear how AA has been lined out there about how people like Charlie Sheen go on about a 5% success rate?
Yeah.
And one person who says they're in AA drinking is going to destroy everything.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it is crazy. So I'm not going to talk about the people that go to my meetings and say, well, when John Barrymore, he's dead, so I can say that.
He's mentioned in our literature.
Did he go to AA?
Well, isn't... Oh.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm to another disclaimer. I'm not like up on our literature. I read the book, and I've read the stories at the end, and I like it, and it's good.
It's a good book.
But I don't. I don't know it by heart.
But how long have you been sober?
I've been sober. It'll be 9 years. Well, it is 9 years. It'll be 10 years next year.
That's congratulations.
Yeah. How about you?
I'll be, well, really soon. So it's November 11th today.
Yes,
that we're
it is.
19th, 14 years.
What the fuck? Right up here.
Are you intimidated?
We just high-fived. I'm a little intimidated by your sobriety.
I mean, it's intimidating. No, I'm a little intimidated. I'm really excited that you're here. And, like, slash a little nervous. And when I did that weird, like, stalking you in the car thing, I was, like, a little embarrassed. But
what are you nervous about?
I don't know. It's just one of the people I actually respect.
Crazy.
But we have mutual friends.
Yeah.
And I had your host as a previous guest on the show.
Right.
And I asked her if you'd be open to it, and here we are.
My host?
Your co-host, Morgan Walsh.
Oh, Morgan. Oh, all right.
The Mo Show. I don't know if you've heard of it.
That. It's all coming back to me, Anna.
Okay, so I would love to talk about when how it all started. I mean, we talk about career as well as the drinking career here.
Oh, so which career do you want to start with?
Well, I like to do a little simultaneously.
Deal.
Yeah.
Dig it.
So where are you from?
San Diego.
Okay.
California.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you grew up there.
I grew up in San Diego. My parents are from New York. And then I moved to New York when I was early 20s, 20-something.
Always wanted to be an actress.
Always wanted to be an actress, yeah. But I didn't particularly want to move to New York. I just sort of did on a whim because my friend Kathy was.
Right.
She said, do you want to move to New York? And I said, okay. So we moved. And I lived there for 10 years and then moved back to Los Angeles, and then moved to Los Angeles, and then here I am.
Okay, and so your friend Kathy is in Kathy and Jimmy.
Kathy Nahimi, yeah.
Is that really how you say it?
No, it isn't.
we've all been saying
Here's
it
a funny
wrong.
Story about her name. We were at some awards, you know, thing where, you know, they have you know, they have your names on chairs and stuff like that, where you giving an award. So I get there first, and one of the producer people comes up and says, "We just want to be really sure how to pronounce Kathy's last name." And I said, "Well, in Arabic, you don't pronounce any of the consonants. So her name would be Kathy E-E." And she was like, "Okay, E-E." And I was like, "Yeah." And so then Kathy got there, and they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mo, Gaffney, and Kathy E-E." And Kathy was like, so now that's what I call her, Kathy E-E. Because her name is Najimi. You say it like it looks. It's not like some weird...
It's a weird name, but it's pronounced phonetically.
Yeah, exactly.
So there shouldn't be any confusion.
You look at it and you go, "Najimi." In fact, my mother used to, when I first met Kathy, I would say, she called me, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm going to go over to Kathy and Jimmy's house." And she thought I was saying Kathy.
Kathy and Jimmy's house, yeah.
So there was a big joke that Jimmy lived under the couch because we could never find him. Anyways.
So you guys were best friends in childhood? I'm curious about all
this. No, we became best friends in young adulthood, like late teens, early 20s, because we worked at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego.
Okay.
And in the, theater world in San Diego, the sort of alternative theater world down there. Improv and whatnot, feminism.
Was there a big improv alternative comedy world there?
I don't know. I think I was in it, so I'm going to say yes.
Uh-huh.
There was a man named Don Victor who was kind of like the big improv guy there. And so I started there at the International Blend Theater.
Uh-huh.
With the International Blend players. And then did a lot of improv. And then Kathy was a producer at a feminist cafe, and she asked me to get some women together and come do improv there. And I knew her before that, but I said, okay. So I found some women. We had a group called Hot Flashes. Get it?
Cute.
And so we were together for a few years, Hot Flashes, in California. And then, so that's that story.
But so, and are you, I'm feeling like you're part of a big family. Big-ish.
I am.
How many?
6 kids.
Okay.
2 parents, as far as I know. Yeah, 6 kids. I have 2 brothers and 3 sisters.
And I'm going to guess, because now I think I'm so psychic, because I said the thing
about
the big family.
You are.
I love it. Not at all. You're like in the middle.
I'm totally the middle.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's another person in the middle with me.
Right, cause it's 6. There has to be, right?
So it's me and my brother, Tim.
Uh-huh.
We're the very middle. And then it fans out after that.
And so twins or every year different
No,
kid.
My mom just started at 20. She got married at 20, had her first kid at 21, and was done having kids. It took her like 10 or 11 years to have 6 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 12 years. Yeah, she had me when she was 28, and then there were 2 after me and 3 before me. So, and then my sister Eileen is the youngest. I'm going to guess she's 4 years younger than me. So, yeah, there you have it. From 21 to 32, she had 6 kids.
Yeah.
I had, like, a lot of drinks and a good time. She had 6 kids.
But you have 1 kid.
I do.
You have 1 because he's off in an Uber. God knows what happened to him.
Quiet. He's in an Uber because, of course, 10 minutes before I have to come here, he's like, "Mom, I want to go to
the Burbank Mall
and meet his friends."
Right.
God only knows. He's probably, who knows what he's doing. But I was like, dude, I have somewhere I have to go.
Yeah.
And so then I used my brain pan and I called an Uber, which then I found out after he was in the car, because I was on, the help page at Uber, and they're like, "He has to be 18 or be with an adult." And I thought, well, broke the
law. Too late now.
He's really tall, to be fair, so nobody thinks when he gets in the car that he's anything but 18.
Wait, he's 17? Is that what we decided?
He's 15.
Oh, he's 15.
But he's super tall.
Yeah, yeah. I'm confident he's fine.
I think he got there and everything's fine. We gave 5 stars to the driver.
But we have not performed the citizen's arrest on you for having broken the law.
No, so I'm hoping later, maybe, right before the show's over.
That's what this is about.
Yeah, just we can get this done.
I told you I'm psychic. I knew that was going to happen, which is why I brought you in here.
My son used to think psychic was sidekick.
Oh, yeah, it sounds a lot like that.
Sidekick. Mom, are you sidekick?
Do you believe in psychics?
I don't not believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to one?
Yeah. you know, I think, I don't, you know, I don't not believe in them. I don't particularly think, I think if they believe in themselves, that's all that really matters.
Right. I mean, I think, and it's interesting. I do think it's, I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. I'm going to be doing a story on tarot card readers for Time Out Magazine. Teaser.
Oh.
And so I was just talking to the editor yesterday. And so, teaser. And so she was, we were talking about this, and it's sort of like, if you believe it's true, it's true. And it, yeah. I think it's a lot like spirituality, you know, and horoscopes are from anything. The dumb things to the real things.
Sure. Absolutely. And if it's something you believe in when you go, then by God, go for it.
And it will be true.
Sure.
No, but I mean, you know, in that whole way.
For you, you'll find a way to make it true.
Right. Like, did you ever see Reality Bites, which was the seminal movie of my 20s?
Reality Bites?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you said Reality Binds, and I thought, is that Amanda's brother? Reality Bites. Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Okay, honestly. But the most important line from that movie is when she's wasting all of her money on the psychic hotline, and the woman's like, I see an end, and she's like, newsstand. He works in a newsstand. So it's like the way that we will all find to make it real.
You will make it happen.
Okay, but so let's go back to you in the middle of these six children, San Diego.
Yeah.
And were you like a wild kid?
No, I was the one. I pretty much did what I wanted because I called home a lot.
and said,
I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'll be home in. And I wasn't home late. And if I said I was going to do stuff, I did it. Meanwhile, I was out causing a lot of trouble. And
what were you doing?
Well, just whatever I really wanted to do. I mean, I was always careful because my older siblings had gotten in a lot of trouble about things for drinking and whatever, all kinds of trouble. And so I just thought, I don't want to live that life. So if I fly under the radar, I can pretty much do what I want. Plus, I wasn't as bad as, I didn't do as bad of things as they did.
What did they do?
They did drugs and alcohol and ran into buildings with cars and had babies and, you know, stuff like that.
So, and are they, like, are any of them sober or?
Everybody's sober in my family.
Everybody's sober?
Yeah.
All six kids?
Five kids are sober.
Wow.
One, I don't want to take her inventory, so she can, whatever.
Right.
But everybody else is sober. Yep.
Wow.
And my mom, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But not when you were a kid. Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
You got to drink through all those children.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for that at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to drink through, you know, I have one kid.
Yeah.
And
I haven't had one, and all I wanted to do.
You
want to
drink just thinking about it. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, we're all sober.
But question about that, by the way. Do you want to drink? Do you think about it?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't want to drink. I would like not to have to think about it. One way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Like certain friends I have, they're, you know, sort of normal people, and they might have a drink or not. They might even get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, it's not an obsession of the mind with them. It's
right.
It's just a, you know, I'll have a cracker with cheese on it and maybe some wine, and then I'll go on and do something else with my life. But
Would you want that?
When it's, not as... No, well, obviously, no.
Right.
Obviously.
Or you do it.
As myself right now.
Right.
I didn't want that. I wanted a lot more.
Yeah.
I wanted, you know. So, yeah. But I would like to it not to be, like, there's certain things I think, like, when I was in France, and it was nice to drink some really good wine in France. It was nice. I've been in Ireland, and I've, you know, partaken of the special kind of whiskeys there that are good. You know, and so there's places I haven't been to that's a part of the culture that I think, you know, I'm going to have to go. No, and I don't want, you know, I don't want that. I wish it wasn't a
thing.
I wish it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten a lot out of, obviously, our spiritual program.
Right.
I wouldn't want to give up, but... people are like, I'm so grateful I'm an alcoholic. And I think, well, I don't know about that. You know, I know a lot of people because of it that I really love. And I think I'm a better person in a lot of ways because of that program. But that's not saying that people that don't have our program aren't good people, too, without
right.
it. So, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because it is.
Yeah, you don't know
it is,
what it would
is what
be.
It is.
You don't know how good a person you would or wouldn't be without
no
it.
No idea.
But
I think in general, I've probably done some damage to myself and to others through And would I want to take that back? Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I
would.
But
so, okay, so growing up, the older siblings were getting busted. You learned. You said, I don't need to get busted like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly under the radar.
Yeah, and I did. And I did well in school, and mm-hmm. I was, you know, I was the cheerleader, and I was in plays, and I...
In class clownish stuff, too, a little bit?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Funny, and... which it came from my family. My family's really funny.
Yeah.
We might be a lot of things, other things, but we're also very funny. And we also appreciate funny things and funny people. So yeah, that's what I did. I was funny. And then I left home at 17.
And that's when you went to New York?
And that's when I went to, no, that's when I just moved out.
Okay. In San Diego?
Yeah. I didn't go to New York till I was like 23 or 24.
So you were from 17 to... 23.
I was in San Diego doing improv,
doing
and theater,
improv,
and
having fun, drinking, doing all that.
Yeah, but it, you know what? It wasn't. I wasn't a. I mean, a lot of people have imbibed a lot more mm-hmm. than I did when I was that age.
Right.
I wasn't. I didn't like have liquor in my house. I would go buy liquor if I was having a party or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't, my life didn't revolve around it in any concrete way.
Did that start to happen later?
That happened later. And when I moved to New York, and while I was in New York, that's when it started to.
Okay, and so.
Liquor cabinet.
Yes.
That's when it's.
Well, New York is a good place for that. That was a good, those were good years for New York.
Absolutely fantastic.
So you go there, you and Kathy move in together in New York?
Yeah, briefly. I mean, when we lived with our friend Steven,
mm-hmm.
who's her best friend from childhood, and we moved in with him for a while, and then, you know, broke it up, you know, got our own places. We didn't break up.
And what part of New York were you living in?
I lived first in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and then in, then always downtown. I lived in Chelsea, I lived in, what do we call that? I don't know what you'd call that area. I lived there for a year. And then I lived in, on Great Jones Street, Great Jones and Bowery. What is that, NoHo?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
You scored some good places. I just lived there recently. I lived in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
But
I lived in on 18th and 7th, right by Barney's.
Oh, 18th and 7th. I was on 19th between 7th and 8th. Barney's?
Yeah.
Barney's is there.
Barney's the store.
Yeah, you know, I know. It's not. It's like not a big one, though. I don't think of it as being right there.
Oh, we'll see. In New York, it certainly was in my time. Barney's was very big. It was like...
It was also unaffordable for me, so
yes. You know,
that.
I think I maybe went in there twice, and I lived in New York for 10 years, so you'll... So, yeah.
So, okay, and so you get to New York, and you're like, what do you start doing?
What do I start doing? I got a job. I
As
mean,
a waitress,
I had no money.
What were you doing?
My first job was at a wholesale furniture store, and I had that job for 2 days because I went there, and it was on the east side. It was far on the far west side, like 28th and 11th,
mm-hmm.
and big time hoes on the street there.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I got to work at 8:30 in the morning, you know. And so, you know, I'm from San Diego, which is could not be the kinder, nicer, sort of precious place. And there's all these hoes, and they weren't nice enough. That wasn't a problem. But it was a bit of a shock for me. And then I got to work, and they yelled at me. And not to be mean, but that's just how they communicated.
Yeah.
And I couldn't take it. I did my job, and I did it for 2 days, and I did it well. And then the third day, I called in sick. And then the fourth day, I said, I'm not coming back. And they're like, why? We really like you. You did well. And I said, I just can't. I can't take it. I didn't go back. And then my friend worked at a PR firm, and I went and worked there.
Where they yelled, but in a different way.
Yes. Where they yelled, but there was the buffer of my friend, who was also from San Diego, also in improv, and ended up working for Marilyn Levine PR Partners, which was on the same floor as what's the other one? Barry Moss. He's a casting. He recently passed away.
Oh yeah, he was a well-known guy who gave everyone their first breaks.
Yeah. And it was on the same floor, so we had to sort of walk through their reception area to get to our. And I met Dan Jinks there, who's a big-time producer now.
Oh yeah,
he produced American Beauty.
Yeah,
and he worked at. Barry Moss, he worked at the Moss was something Moss and something, but anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, that was exciting. Except you'd walk through the casting area, and there's all these people, and they'd look up at you, hopefully, like you had anything to do with it. And I just wanted to say, don't look at me.
Right.
I work in the PR thing.
I can't help you. But later, yeah. I can help you once you make it. Oh, right?
Yes. And I've helped all of them. What you're talking about.
Yeah. But so... And so the whole thing about them yelling, that's how what New York is to me. It's like you go there.
Yeah, I got used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
so not okay
But
with
the
me.
First day of that wholesale furniture place, I was like, I can't do this. My feelings hurt so much. I want out. So, and luckily I got another job. Yeah.
So how long did you work in PR?
I work in PR. I like did all the scut work. I didn't do anything in PR, but... I don't really remember. And then I started working at maybe like less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it was. Maybe months-wise. It was months.
It was longer than the wholesale furniture place. We know that.
Much longer.
Okay.
And then I worked at... this is your life, Mo Gaffney.
I know.
Then I worked at Don't Tell Mama, which is a cabaret on 45th Street. Do you know where Orso's is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's across the street. Anyways, it's on 45th. It's called Don't Tell Mama. It's a cabaret, and I worked there as coat check. Both Kathy and I did. Coat check and a waitress and then a bartender.
And sounds fun.
And we did our show there, too.
Oh, you did the Kathy and Mo show started
That's
there?
That's where it started, at Don't Tell Mama. Yeah, in the back room, cabaret.
And so, tell me what that was like. So you start the show. It was immediately
We started
successful?
Our show in San Diego. We did it in San Diego, and we thought we were so great. And... And so we did it there at the Old Town Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really successful. It really went well. And then we did it at the Old Globe Theater for one night with Whoopi Goldberg did her act there. And these other women, I forget their names, but they were musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to New York. And then we did it at Don't Tell Mama. And then Second Stage Theater came.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did it at Second Stage, and then we did it at West Side Arts.
And so you moved to New York to bring the show there, basically.
Yeah.
And then what happened from there, both in terms
of stardom?
Well, obviously.
Period.
I mean...
Oscars.
Emmys, Cable Ace Awards that have been turned
Cable
into
Ace
mic
Awards,
stands.
Obies. Instrument, not the award. We got Obies.
You did get an Obie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So
we did our show there. We got it on off Broadway.
Yeah.
And then we got a special on HBO.
Right.
Right. And then and then that was that. And then we did in San Francisco as our tour. I'm doing air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't want a tour. We didn't want to go around. We just wanted to go one place. So we went to there and did it there for a few months. And that's where we taped the special. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, so that's that story. And then we did, in the special, they left out a bunch of material that we thought was really good.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to say? It's bad.
Right.
But anyway, so then we wanted to do another special. So we did another special called The Dark Side.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they didn't want was the stuff about AIDS and stuff about abortion. You know, we had all this material we did.
Right.
And they didn't want it in the HBO special. So we did it. In the second HBO special, after we had a little bit more
clout. They were like, sure, whatever you gals want.
Yes. And so that was The Dark Side.
And then, you started and have continued to work regularly.
Somewhat regularly, yeah.
Like you've never done anything else.
Not since...
PR.
Not since the PR. Not since Don't Tell Mama, when I worked as... Not since I worked as a bartender, yeah. I don't think so, no. Writing... I've done some writing that I got paid for, so there's that. But yeah, how about that?
How about that? And did your drinking ever impact that in a negative way?
I'm sure my drinking totally impacted it somehow. You know, as far as not taking opportunities and being... Because what I realized the most when I stopped drinking was just how unconscious you are.
Yeah.
As a person. You just sort of... bump around like an idiot. And that's what I did. I didn't take advantage of opportunities. I didn't make any plan. You know, I didn't plan my career in any way.
Right.
I was just, yeah. So I'm sure it totally impacted that because I wasn't thinking. I wasn't.
But yet.
I wasn't drunk all the time either. I mean, I worked and I did things, but I just wasn't conscious of what I was doing particularly. I wasn't like, I didn't really think about it very much.
Yeah.
Whereas now that I could think about it, you know, it's sort of like nobody gives a shit.
They do, though.
Well, I mean, they give a shit. I mean, I get jobs and stuff. But
yeah.
If I would have taken advantage of things when I was had a little more visibility, it would have been smarter. I mean, I can't regret it. I can't regret it because that's stupid. But I think it did impact. Of course it impacts.
It always how has
your
to.
Life, what happens in your life, yeah.
But the fact that you were that it never slowed you down work wise.
Well, it did slow me down. I mean, I used to, and I don't do that so much anymore, but on auditions, if it was too far from my house, I wouldn't go. Even if it was like the perfect part for me or like a huge opportunity anybody would drive 500 miles for, mm-hmm. I was just like, ugh, it's in Santa Monica. I can't, it's too far.
Right.
How stupid is that? And I didn't really prepare a lot for things. You know what I mean? I just really was kind of just took it for granted.
Yeah.
Took it for granted.
As I think we all do. Anything that comes.
But you don't know. Like, you know. I mean, I just thought, oh, I have this. Now this is happening. It's so great. I have this. I'm on this show. Oh, look at me.
Yeah.
And not ever taking a moment, be self-aware about what's going on. So...
But I don't think that's alcoholism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's being in your 20s.
I think the kids probably know more now.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know because obviously I'm, you know, in my 30s now. But no,
as am I.
I'm way older than that. But yeah, so that's the thing. There's nothing you can do about it now.
No.
Nothing I can do about it now. But and then when I look back and when I think back at the people I did get a chance to work with and the things I did get a chance to do, I think, well, you did all right. It's not the end.
And you're halfway through, you know?
God, I hope not. I hope I'm almost done because I'm exhausted.
No. I mean, here's the thing is I don't know. I was somebody who couldn't get any kind of a career going at all. Mm, yeah. Like, all I did was get fired and get in fights and have, like, writing partners messenger me letters that they never wanted to talk to me again. Like, I don't know anything about being able to, like, be an active alcoholic and addict and work. Oh. And function and like have friendships and all of that stuff. And like, I'm kind of getting the sense you were a fun drunk. You were not like an
I was.
Yeah.
I was mostly I was a fun. Yeah.
And did
yeah, you, I wasn't a mean drunk and I wasn't a, and I never, I don't think I ever, I was never a blackout drunk. I unfortunately remembered
all of it
somehow. Everything, which is good in one way, but another way you wake up the cringe festival the next day is pretty lengthy.
What are some of the most horrifying memories you have of things you did while drinking?
Falling.
Yeah.
Into a bush with a friend of mine. Laughing like it was the most hilarious thing, of course. But it was at a rap party for a show I was in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, God, I think about it now. But the funny thing is one of the higher-ups on that show was a huge, you know, I got drunk with all the time. I mean, not all the time, but every Friday night.
Right.
So, I don't know that it really impacted anything much, and nothing does much in this world business. Yeah.
In that world, if you're making people money, mm-hmm. they could give a fuck what you're doing.
They'll fall in the bush with you.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, just thinking back, and then just, I know you make bad choices sometimes when you're out there.
I sure did.
Hoisting them back, sure.
Did you, and what was your drink of choice, and did you do drugs, or was it just the alcohol?
Oh, I did do drugs, but that was not actually the big problem.
Really?
Yeah. Drugs I could sort of take or leave, but mm-hmm. I did do them.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, I have done ecstasy before.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
I'm familiar with it.
I did that, and I really liked it the first time. I thought, this is so much fun. I love it.
Yeah.
But the second time...
Yeah.
No, it was just okay. So after that, I would pretend to take ecstasy and go out, because my friends wanted to take it, and I'd be like, yeah. And I would put it in my jewelry box, because if it...
You'd waste ecstasy like that?
No, it did not go to waste in the end, because they couldn't get it one night, and I was like, dudes, look at this. I have a whole box of ecstasy. But and I, you know, I really loved it the first time, but I could not get that. I didn't think I could get that back. And that's, I think, the difference.
That is genius, what you just said.
I kind of figured out I couldn't get those sort of highs back, drug-wise. But liquor never let me down. Huh. Do you know what I mean? Liquor,
I do.
You always get that boom, and then you're there, and then, yeah. So my drink of choice was, I was a liquor person. I was not beer and wine.
Right.
I did not like beer.
No.
And I wasn't really that fond of wine, actually. I liked a martini,
mm-hmm.
a vodka, a dirty martini, and a single malt scotch.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, and how many of those would you have?
How many do you have to give me?
Like one martini. I mean, I had a decent tolerance, and one martini would like send me under the bar.
Oh yeah, at least more than one. I mean, I don't know, because after a while you're like, you know, at least four,
right?
Or five, depending. Yeah. Not when I was driving so much with the martinis.
Yeah, but in New York.
But in New York, yeah.
Well, but what you said about the not being able to get the high bag is so interesting, because that is, I do think every time, I was a cocaine person more than a drinker.
I did that too.
But every single time, when you go into the years of doing it and it's terrible and you just keep doing it and you're like throwing it away and buying it, you're just trying to get back to that time when you were 17.
When it was really fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
And you delude yourself.
But you still do it. I mean, I did that. I certainly did it after, and I didn't get that thing back, but... That was, it seemed less, I mean, I didn't do scads and scads and scads and scads of it a night with that. You know what I mean? I didn't like, never had to go back and get more.
Right.
But it's, to me, ecstasy was a little bit more like invasive to my system. I felt like it was doing worse to me than cocaine was. I have no idea why.
What kind of it? I mean, we don't know. No. I mean, none of it's good, let's be honest.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I don't feel... I think pot, although, I mean, after a while, I couldn't smoke pot because it just made me want to eat and sleep.
Yeah.
And be paranoid, a little paranoid too.
Yeah.
But pot, I think, there's a lot of uses for. I don't have a big problem with... I mean... If you're addicted to pot, maybe not so much. You shouldn't do it. But I think pot should be legalized.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so, too. The problem with pot, I think, is that the brain is not fully formed until you're in your mid-20s.
Until you're 25, yeah. I have a really good friend who they call Dr. Pot, because she is a neuropsychiatrist. She's a muckety-muck over at Harvard McLean in Boston. And she's done all the studies on the teenage minds and pot. And she tells my son, dude, don't smoke any pot till you're 25, because your brain isn't finished forming and it really screws it up. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
I mean, don't you know people now that you're like, oh, fuck, you smoked a lot of pot in high school?
Oh, I smoked a lot of pot.
But you don't have that. Your brain does not feel malformed from pot.
Well, yeah, but me and my friend Janice used to go almost every night and do this little circuit in her little MG in high school. She had a little yellow MG, and we would smoke pot and drive along the beach. And then she'd drop me off, and I'd go to sleep.
Like, that sounds really fun.
Most useless.
But I don't even like pot, and that's still something idyllic and fun.
I don't even, but I did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I did pot in high school, and I kind of liked it. And then when I got to my mid-20s, it was just, my brain was more formed. My paranoia got so bad by then.
I stopped doing it for a while, and then when I went back to do it, I could get high on like one hit of pot.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like it. And then once, you know what I did once? Everybody?
Can't wait.
That's listening. That guy's got great dreadlocks.
They are great. He's not a friendly man. I can't tell about the acoustics here, but that is a man that I have like said hello to 76 times.
Doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
What if he cut his dreadlocks off?
He'd notice.
I think maybe he'd lighten up.
Do you think if we had dreadlocks like that?
Yeah, he'd like us way more.
He would totally talk to us. Okay, yeah.
I forgot what I was saying.
You were something super interesting about pot. Yeah, high school.
High school pot?
After the MG, the yellow MG?
Oh, yeah, no, we're beyond that. I forget what it was. It's
okay.
If you forget what it was, then it was probably stupid.
I don't agree with that. I think that man with the dreadlocks needs
pot.
To come in here.
Oh, it was about, so I could get high on one hit of pot, and then...
You didn't like that.
Oh, one time I took a friend of mine had AIDS. This was in New York, and we went to his house for Thanksgiving, and he gave us, like, his pot pills. He gave everybody one of his pot pills. And we... I've never been so pot high in my life.
Was it good?
It was horrifying.
Ugh.
It was so, like, we walked home and looked at leaves, and it was all... I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Ugh.
Ever, ever, ever. So, yeah, pot I can do without. That was not a... It's not a hardship not to do pot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. So do you remember your first drink and, like, what happened to you and that whole experience?
Well, I think it was probably beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like beer. Mm-hmm. Even today, I don't like... I mean, I never liked beer, but I would never order a beer. If they... You know what? When I was drinking, if the thing was only beer and wine, I'd be like, shit. Really?
Really?
I hated it. I thought, ugh, what am I supposed to drink if you only have beer and wine? How skanky.
Mm.
Anyways, so I think it was probably beer. And I probably got drunk and threw up. I'm pretty sure.
Do you remember the thing where you said to yourself consciously, oh my God, what is this?
No, because my parents were drinkers.
Right.
I knew exactly what it was.
So there's you no knew question. That it was going to be like a magical elixir?
Well, at that time, I don't know that it was a magical elixir for me at that time. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I had a lot of resentment towards the magical elixir in my family.
Uh-huh.
And so it really didn't become a magical elixir till later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I lived in New York. And I certainly drank before then and drank a lot and did whatever, but it wasn't a magical elixir until I was in New York, quite frankly.
And how did that change? How did it become that?
Going out, going to clubs in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It all came together.
But did you have this sense of
It all came together. I drank beer in San Diego
mm-hmm.
because that's what everybody sort of drank.
Right.
And, you know, shots of tequila and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I wasn't crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't a magic elixir for me. And I, you know, it wasn't until later when I drank scotch and frickin' martinis that I was like, oh,
and what did it give you?
It gave me, even now, I'm an outgoing person, but that's a job.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can go anywhere. I can go out here and start talking to these people, and I would have no problem with it.
Yeah.
But it takes a toll. It's a job. It's not like, I don't really relax into it so much.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
One-on-one with somebody who's nice to me, I'm like, I'm great. But when I have to go, you know, I'm a performer.
Right.
So that's not a problem. But when I drink, or when I drank, it wasn't such a job then.
Yeah.
It was a lot more comfortable and easy and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So you consciously have to make an effort now. You're like, well, I got to turn this on.
Well, I just have to, quite frankly, I think it's my nature. And I don't know for sure. I can only posit mm-hmm. that it's my nature to be kind of a loner and be kind of a... I love to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I like researching stuff and I like... That sort. I mean, I like that stuff. I mm-hmm. like it. Like I'm on right now. I'm doing the ancestry thing with my family, and I have been in a K-hole. And as a fellow, abuser,
I've been in a K-hole myself. Well, yeah. Literally,
I have.
Is it 23andMe? Is that how you're doing it?
No, I'm doing it with Ancestry.com and all these newspaper things, and then Library of Congress.
Oh wow!
And I'm finding all the shit about my family. But I mean, you have to. It's got to be something you like to do.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just appear. You have to really look and...
Right.
So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I like to do. I really, really like it. And that's kind of solitary.
Yeah.
And reading is very solitary.
Yeah.
Usually. But my life hasn't been so much that. My life has been...
External.
It's something... And I come from a huge family, you know, big family of
big,
a lot
loud
of loud
family.
People.
Yeah.
And so... I don't know if it's a reaction to that. I mean, who knows? Who knows why? It's just that.
Right.
And I'm sick of wondering why. Because, I mean, people have always said, I hate your reading. I hate your reading, Mo. Are you reading? I hate your reading. Because I read a lot.
Yeah.
I would rather read than a lot of things. Yeah, so people I feel have hated my reading
because they want you to hang out. They're like, why
because
do you
don't
have
want
to read?
Talk? Yeah, because I'm completely self-contained in that way.
Right. Right.
And, you know, you'll hear people say, I always have to be around people, and I think that would be like...
Hell.
Hell. And but now I think one day I'm going to get what I want and be totally alone, and I'm going to go, uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I was writing books, that was all I wanted was people to leave me alone so I can write.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would, and I would want to die.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Where did you go?
So I just need... I would love to have a companion of some kind.
Yeah.
Who... could also read with me.
That's all I want. Yeah.
That's what I want. And then every now and then we talk about stuff or talk about what we read.
Yeah.
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 Or whatever. When we have to go out to some sort of function.
Yeah.
And we come back and read some more.
I mean, it's too bad.
And maybe, you know, we would have, you know, relations of some kind.
Yeah. That's good. But no.
But it's hard to find people like that.
Well, it's hard to find a man who reads. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the check. How much is that for?
Oh, $1.
Nice.
It was my tax refund from last year.
Beautiful.
I think
baby.
It's $1.09.
That's beautiful. I have a check for 1 cent. I got a couple of checks for one cent.
Yeah, you put it on Facebook even.
I did.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's fun when you get a big residual check like that.
You think, what am I going to buy?
But, so wait, so you get sober. You said so many interesting things, but now I got to go back because I'm a chronological.
I am fascinating.
You
Anna.
Are a fascinating woman. Why do you think you're here? So you, what made you get sober?
What made me get sober? A couple things. Went to Vegas to do something, to do a TV show, and with my friend Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
And we were running around and drinking and drinking and drinking, and we couldn't get drunk. So we were like, let's go to another casino, because we just thought we just have to get out and breathe some fresh air.
Yeah.
That would maybe wake up the things we wanted to kill. And it still didn't work. And so that's when she got sober. That was sort of her catalyst. One of her catalysts to get sober, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and did that same show again the next year and didn't bring Shauna because she had stopped drinking.
Right.
And I went there and I tried to get drunk all night long and I could not get drunk.
What happened in that year in between, though?
I know.
Yeah.
Regular.
Right.
And... stayed up till like 5 o'clock in the morning talking to this guy. Went to bed, woke up, didn't even have a hangover. But I felt, what I like to say, bereft.
Mm.
I felt, totally bereft of anything.
Yeah.
And I had a kid.
You already had a kid?
Yeah. So it was like, something's got to, this is not how I can be. I have a kid. I have to, you know, and you have all these rules when you have a kid about your drinking. I wait till he's gone to really tie one on. I wait till he's bed to have any drinks.
Did you quit while you were pregnant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of him, I quit.
Right, right, right.
Because he, you know, I asked my doctor, can I have a... I was in New York doing a off-Broadway show, and I said, can I have a scotch on opening night? And she said, sure, you can have one scotch when you're pregnant. I was really excited, and I took a sip of that scotch, and it was like, oh, it was horrible. He was like, I don't think so. I don't think we'll be having scotch. So I couldn't, and then through my pregnancy, I probably had 2 or 3 Guinness, not even all of it, just some, just when I was out, and that was all during the time I was in the show, because we'd go out after the show, and my friend Mira Sayal, Hi, Mira. Who is an actress, she lives in London, she said, you can have a Guinness.
Yeah.
It's good for you. And so I did that. Yeah.
I remember being out with non-alcoholic friends, one of whom was pregnant, and she was drinking wine, and I was like,
I guess
it's okay.
You can't. I'm sure my mother and tons of people's parents
my mother
drank.
Smoked.
Straight through.
Drank.
Anything. You know,
yeah.
Went surfing. I don't know what they did, but. And we're all right. You know, we're.
Allegedly
we're all right. So far, up to now.
So, and how did this pregnancy come along? Was this a relationship?
I don't know.
You were in?
It was sort of like.
What's going on in my stomach?
I haven't had my period in a while. The hell's going on? And then 9 months later.
Out he popped.
I have a baby with a friend of mine.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry if this is too personal. I didn't know that.
A little bit. Jesus, Anna.
That's fun. That was always my fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Yeah.
Wow, and it's worked.
Yeah, so far, it has.
Good.
Yeah.
And so, how old was your son when you got? So he was new.
He was new. Well, he wasn't brand new. He was five.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And so that bereft morning in Vegas.
Yeah. Is when then I got home and I called my friend Shauna and I was like, she was like, how was the show, blah, blah, blah. And I said, eh. And she's like, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. I feel a little ennui.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and then at the end of the conversation, it was like, so the meeting is when and where? And that's, prior to that, though, I had gone to an Al-Anon meeting because it wasn't me.
No, the family.
It was them.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that at all.
No.
Because they weren't nice to me. They weren't mean to me. They were just completely dismissive of the fact that I was there.
Yeah.
And so they didn't make me want to stay. And when I went to AA, they were like, come on in.
Oh, here's our number.
Could not have been nicer.
Have you been back to Al-Anon since?
Yes. And they were, and I went with somebody I know to her meeting, and I knew a couple of people there, and so they were nice to me then. But it's not yet. Is it my deal?
Well, and it is a shock. I know I went to Al-Anon after AA, and like it was a shock that, yeah, they really did not give a fuck that I was there. And the next week, they still didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, this is them, quote, working their program, not being nice to me? Like, that's what they're, you know, oh, these are people who care too much. So, you know,
so
this is how they're
not going to care at all?
Yeah. I got some opinions about that. But, you know, just like people who've got opinions about AA, I got opinions about personalities of people I've met there.
Right.
Nothing wrong with these programs at all. But so you go, and from that time that Shauna told you about the meeting, you have stayed?
Mm-hmm.
And was it difficult?
The idea of it was more difficult than the doing of it. I was panicked that I wouldn't be able to drink again because, of course, you think you have to drink.
Yeah.
And so there was that. But after a while, it wasn't so bad. But at first I was like, and then I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. Why am I even here?
Yeah.
Everybody says that, I'm pretty sure.
I never did, but go on.
Point,
yeah.
But, and then one day at a particular meeting, I sat there and it was like maybe a month and a half in, and I thought, and I was like happy and absolutely devastated, and it was because I was happy that I was there, and I was devastated because it's where I belonged.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that was sort of the day I kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll be like, are you really enough? And then I'm like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're the only one who can say, you know,
it's true.
Only one who can say. Other people can have their opinions about it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to me unless, because I'm the one that, in the end, owns this deal going on. And so.
And the only one who can decipher the deal in the brain.
Exactly.
I think that is the major misconception people have. They think, well, how much do you drink?
Yeah.
How many overdoses have you had? How many DUIs have you had?
Have you lived under a bridge?
That's how one figures out or can diagnose alcoholism, and they don't get, you know, that it's the powerless. To me, it's the powerlessness.
And it's
the obsession.
Using it to try and make yourself comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And you, if you need something else to make yourself comfortable in your own skin, then that's a problem, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it might be alcohol, it might be drugs, it might be sex, it might be food, whatever it is. If you can't get through the day without, you know, abusing something and using something just to make you feel normal, then, I think that's a problem.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
I think, especially if it's debilitating to you physically and to the people around you.
Yeah.
In any way. So, yeah.
And were you the first one in your family to get sober?
Okay. No. No, God, no. My mom did a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, Kathleen, did a long time ago. Longer ago than me. I think she's got like 20 years. And my brother, Michael, has more than that. And then my sister, Eileen, has, let's say, she has more. Everyone has more than me.
Yeah. But they didn't say stuff to you while they were doing it?
No. Because I'm sort of the
The hidden one.
The what?
The hidden one. The one who kind of got to...
Well, not so much hidden as not as bad as.
Yeah.
I had the house and the car and yeah. the seemingly had the it awards, together.
Yeah.
But, and they, you know, had it not quite as together.
Right.
In that way. Right. In other ways, they, you know, do very well. But in that way, when they got sober, they, you know, they didn't have what I had. But...
But they weren't exactly surprised. They weren't like, what are you doing
no,
this for?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But they never were like, you got to quit drinking. Because they never, nobody ever said that to me.
Do you, and so how would you say, what's the main way your life is different now that you're sober?
I don't drink anymore.
Well.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my rigorous honesty, it's ruined me for lying.
Mm-hmm.
It really has.
Were you a good liar before?
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know that I was a big liar or anything, but I was a little liar.
Yeah.
All the time. I think everybody is, to a certain extent.
What were you, like, what would you
anything.
Lie about?
Anything. Yeah. I can't go because I don't feel well. I can't go because I have another appointment. I can't go. Oh, I totally forgot. Sorry. No, I didn't forget. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. Little things that I can't do now. Even the littlest thing I can't do. Even the littlest lie makes it difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can still tell them something. I mean, like, I'll just be like, oh, wow, I didn't need to. This is what I'll do. I'll find myself emailing, and usually if I'm feeling some guilt or shame or something about why, whatever it is I'm sending, my tendency will be not necessarily to an outrageous lie, but an exaggeration of some sort.
Ah, yes.
And sometimes I'll send it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad. I don't drink. Nothing bad happens. Yeah. But then, like, and sometimes I don't even feel bad afterwards.
Yeah. I can't lie. I mean, I can lie. I'm sure I still do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, the queen of telling the truth. But I think I'm less likely to lie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd love to. There's times I'd love to just lay out a big one.
Yeah.
But, It doesn't feel good. I don't particularly think I'll drink over it, but it's really hard for me to be an example to anybody if I'm full of shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's
good. Now I fucking feel like shit.
You should. No, you should not. But that, I mean, that's like probably one of the biggest ways. Yeah, I would say that's.
And what about a sense of spirituality? Is that something that you
Well, that's something that I'm, you know, whatever. I'm willing to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I'm not saying that I have a, you know, because some of these people in this program, and that's what was always the biggest problem for me with this program, was this idea of them saying God all the time,
mm-hmm.
which, whatever. I was raised Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very funny faith. And so I don't know. I'm willing to believe that there is some sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to believe that intentions is the spirituality of the world. Good intentions.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, if people look to you with kindness mm-hmm. or love you or love somebody else or do something kind or are giving, all of those intentions, those kind intentions... add up to an energy
mm-hmm.
that I'm willing to believe might have some sort of effect.
Do you believe that energy helped you to get sober and helps you to stay sober?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I've decided to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not because I read anything or I had a big spiritual explosion or anything. I've just decided to believe that. Which also makes me then try and be kind and
yeah.
loving.
Yeah.
And giving as much as I can. I could be way more, obviously. But that is my inclination.
Yeah.
I mean, and I tried to change, which my son will argue with me about this, but just my, like when I'm driving, because mm-hmm. I'm horrible. I'm a great driver. Everybody else is a bad driver.
Yeah, they
obviously.
Sure are. Yeah.
But instead of saying, I don't know, can we cuss on this?
Cuss away, please. Oh. You motherfucker.
Motherfucking dickhead or whatever it's going to be. I'm like, you sweet, darling, honeysuckle pie. You know, because I don't want to send out. My intention may be mean, but I think I help it. I, you know, you help it dissipate it with the nice little words that come out instead.
Ooh, that's
stupid, but I gotta try.
Might try.
If I've decided that this is gonna be my spiritual practice,
yeah, why not?
I've gotta help it along.
Yeah, isn't that? I went to a life coach when I lived in New York, mm-hmm. and he said that if you really radically want to change your life, you have to do three things. And he's like, don't judge. And I'm like, fuck.
That's really hard.
Don't complain. I'm mm-hmm. like, fuck.
I know.
And he goes, don't swear. I'm like, that I could do. The other two, who knows?
See, I love swearing.
Well, I do too. And you know what? I gave it up for like 2 or 3 months. And it was so shockingly easy to give it up because it's like...
Did you give it up the inclination or just the words? So did you say, it came fudge pie noodle nut?
No, instead I didn't because I'm not dickhead. Retarded. No.
I am retarded. I am retarded.
Honeysuckle.
That's what I do.
No, what I did is...
Or I'll say, I love you. I'll be like, I love you when I'm driving.
That's great.
Instead of something else.
Yeah.
Well, I've decided to believe in it. I've decided to believe that kind words and intentions make things.
And you're right. And you're right.
Sure I am. I think I am.
No, why not? But the thing with the swearing was that something happened in my brain where it started to sound like an affront if I said it or someone else did. And it happened immediately.
Wow.
Where I was just like, ooh. And I remember going to this spiritual woman, that's in quotes, talk, and she swore the whole time, and I was like, I can't even hear her. I'm so pure. And then I went back to swearing. I wouldn't say I feel any worse, but I don't know. It was weird how possible it was
but
to give it up.
You felt there was a difference.
And I just felt it in my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. I was so conscious of giving it up and that it wasn't hard.
Really?
It's so weird, but I wouldn't say that overall.
But there's some swear words I just adore. I love them, and I think they deserve to be utilized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
No, I hear you. Just not a driver's
one. Here's a question I have for you.
Yeah.
As far as the programs, like Alcoholics Anonymous or any kind of sobriety deal, how do you feel about anonymity? Mm-hmm. Across the board. Obviously, you do a podcast about it. So I'm guessing that you think it is better to talk about it.
Yes. I think that, it's something that my opinions about have changed over the years. Mm-hmm. When I was 5 years sober, I wrote my first book, and it was all about being so, it was like a novel, but mm-hmm. about, and I was like, I will not ever say AA. I changed the language. I wanted to talk about what it did, but I didn't want to use the lingo because I felt that was a betrayal.
Right.
Increasingly, this program, I'm aware of the fact that it has given me everything that matters to mm-hmm. me in my life, every single thing. More than quitting drugs, like what this does for me and what it has made me able to do in my life mm-hmm. is so monumental that to watch and read and hear people malign it in such a way is so horrifying to me that whatever apprehension I had about it before is superseded by my desire for people to not be influenced by that negativity. Do you know what
I don't understand that negativity.
Well, I think it's people who tried
and couldn't do it.
And met some super militant people. I've met some super militant, awful people in program. Maybe that's all they met.
How about those people? There's a certain program where you have to wear a skirt.
Yeah.
Dudes, really?
Yeah.
I want to totally tromp in there. What's the complete opposite of a skirt?
Yeah.
Pants.
Naked.
I just think...
Well, and also...
Shut up. That's what I think.
You have to go clean the guy's yard every weekend.
That's crazy town.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so...
And that's not in the...
It ain't in the literature.
No.
No.
So that, I would say, don't do that kind of AA.
But, like, whatever works. You know, my
That's how I feel. I feel like whatever works. And you know what? If AA doesn't work for you, keep looking down the road, because there may be something else. Now, they say a lot, though, that this is the last house on the...
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that that's also what upsets people, is that AA does seem to, we are not speaking for AA, but there does seem to be a sort of philosophy that this is it.
Yeah.
You die if you don't do this.
Yeah.
I do not believe, I know too many people who are not doing it and are mm-hmm. not dying and seem to be living lives that are great. I know it's true for me that I need it.
Yeah. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's spectacular. But I wouldn't say, I would say that's the one thing I think, well, you know, there may be other ways. True, this works for the people it works for, and hallelujah, and thank God it's here. But there may be other ways for other people. And the reason I think that mostly is because of the religious component.
Yeah.
Because I totally believe in freedom of thought and freedom from religion and freedom from spirituality, if that's what you choose.
Right.
And so they sort of squished in there that, you know, we agnostics and you don't have to, but you can see this. But you, in the end, it's really difficult to do this program and not have some kind of a spiritual idea.
Yes.
Or a higher power of some kind.
So. Yes. I mean, even the We Agnostics chapter ain't really
about
being
an agnostic. Yeah, and they're like, you'll come around. That's a good thing. You'll come around. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Jew that there was nothing spiritual about it. It was just this thing that was forced on us. Like that was, and so I had no bad ideas about God. And I think that really has served me. Because I'm just like, oh, God, I get to make up what God is. I say, look, there's God living, sitting there on my wall.
Yeah.
That freak you out?
Not at all. I think God would be anything. This right there, that letter.
Yeah.
Happens to be a G.
No, it says the end. It really does look like it says
E.
Be God.
Be God. It looks like it says the God.
We are looking, by the way, so I had this storytelling show where people got up and told
Tales
of Lust and Love, and people like Laura House, and people like
the talented lady
Morgan,
who I clearly
Morgan
want
Walsh.
To be best friends with.
And what
so
we would do is we would have the audience
that.
Write down their own tales.
Go get everything to
so
do with Mo Gaffney.
So I ended up with all these cards. Thank you for listening.
Personal
keep
stories.
And it was so cool
keep
and interesting.
Downloading,
one of the things I did with them is I made them
reviewing.
Into this paper.
We'll see you next time.
You should make a book out of it, like that post.
Like Post Secrets.
Yeah. Why didn't you do that? What, are you crazy?
Well, because I've done 6 books and I never want to do another one, so I'm really going to put one together.
6 books like this?
No, but I mean, but I hear you. But he already
show. Get it together.
He already did. I'll give them to you. You can take it. Make it your
totally
project.
Will do.
You'll make it successful.
What is it called? I would be the editor of it. Now you let them all know that these could go.
No, that's the other part.
Oh, forget it then.
Well, you mean they're anonymous?
Well, they are, but you should also put on that. If you do this again, let me help
Never
you
doing
out.
It again. Okay, yeah. But if I did.
These might be compiled into and published. Of course, they are anonymous.
Yeah.
But just so you know.
Fuck, I did it all wrong. It was 2 years of that show. Do you know how many little tales like that I have?
Oh, what am I going to do with you?
I don't know. Why didn't we meet years ago?
I don't know. Anna.
You could have
it's
saved
your fault.
Me.
I'm drunk. No.
But okay, we're
done.
We're totally wrapping up. Do you have anything
There's
else
no
that you?
No clocks in here.
I know it's like Vegas.
Oh, I love Vegas. Except
I hate Vegas. That's where you bottomed out. What? I think it's a horrible place. Why do you love it? Why did you love it?
Because I love gambling.
Oh, you do.
Oh, get out of here.
What do you play?
I play everything, anything.
What do you win? Do you have a problem
I've
with
won
gambling?
Before, yeah. No, because I stop before I lose too much money.
That's so great.
But I've won a lot of money, which is why I loved it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I will say, okay, $300.
And you do?
You go into the shithole, and then you just play with $300 till it's gone. Or till you win, and then you leave. I will, like, tuck money away. When I win, I tuck that money away. So I always just use the $300. And then when I'm leaving, I usually have either lost 300 or have, you know, it varies.
600 maybe.
Or have 4,000 before.
Whoa.
Sure.
Whoa. Yeah.
But not more than that. I mean, it's not like I'm Annie Duke or anything.
Sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm too cheap. Like, it just freaks me out.
I know. I have friends like that.
The idea of giving away $300
for
just
nothing.
For fun for like an hour
freaks
me out. Yeah.
I don't do it anymore that often. Last time I gambled was, I don't even know, Anna. I was in Palm Springs, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the smoke is too much for me. When I smoked, it was, I didn't care. But
how
now
long
the
did you
smoking,
smoke?
Ugh, forever. I would still smoke now if I could. But
when did you quit?
It's against the law anymore.
Well, you can still
like
do it.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah. You miss smoking?
I love smoking.
Ew.
What is wrong with you?
First of all, I smoked for 13 years.
I smoked for way longer.
Really?
Yeah.
I smoked up to 2 packs a day.
So did I.
That's hard. Do you know you have to really make an effort to smoke that much? Like, you're lighting
we
it the
used to
second
always
you
say,
wake up.
Oh, my God, I forgot to smoke. That's what we used to say when we weren't smoking. Well, and it got to be less as, you know,
as
time
the years
went
on. Yeah.
Because, obviously, you couldn't smoke anymore anywhere.
Well, see,
and then
I quit
a kid, so I could only, I'd have to go outside to smoke.
See.
So then that made me smoke less, and then finally it was like, I'm really.
I'm sick of fighting these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my thing was like way more dramatic than like drinking a drink. I quit and I was immediately repulsed. I glare at every person who smokes.
Do you?
I do. I like look at them like they are fucking insane people ruining our world. And I'm repulsed by the fact that I ever did it.
I would kick you if you did that.
They don't respond. It's that, you know how the saying.
I might actually punch you.
You might respond.
Yeah.
You know that saying.
I walk by and I think, oh, remember when I got to smoke?
Ew.
I loved it.
But okay.
I would love it today if I could still smoke. I would still smoke.
Ugh. But you know that saying, resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I think when I'm walking by these smokers that I am ruining their day, and they're thinking, what a fucking weird lady. What the fuck is wrong with her? It's the truth.
Why do you feel so strongly?
I don't know. I am repulsed by it. It's instinctive. It's not like like a mind thing.
Well, I can't bear it. You know, I can't bear it anymore, unfortunately.
Your lungs and stuff.
Well, the smell of it and, you know, anything about it, really. I'm not going to do it, but if I could still smoke, I would if there was no bad part of it. But there's a big bad
vape
part of it. It's not the same.
Yeah. Have you done it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I still sometimes use a pretend cigarette.
You do?
Sure.
Okay, wait, we're going off on so many tangents when really we were supposed to stop. I can't tell you. It says 3 minutes and 48 seconds, and that's because we've gone over an hour.
By 3 minutes and 48 seconds?
Yeah, time. Time is rock so weird, and roll. Right? But this has been so fun.
Yeah, no problem. This has been really easy. You're easy to talk to.
Well, thank you. Likewise, is there anything else you want the After Party Pod listeners to know?
I would say, you know, if you have a drinking problem or a drug problem, you could try a AA or NA.
Yeah.
Any of the A's, really. Or at least go to somebody and say you need help.
Yeah.
And maybe there might be a place they can take you for help. Because, let me tell you, it's way better after you stop. That's what I would say. Yeah, and don't, you know, online, go online. There's all kinds of places. Just go. And life is so totally
different
and scary and exciting and fucking better. That's one time I will cuss.
Yeah.
It is fucking better. Even at its worst. Even at its worst, which sounds pie in the sky, but even at its worst, it's like, but at least I'm not a big drunk skunk right now.
Yeah. I love this as a note to end on. Inspiring. Bye. Mo Gaffney. So, yeah, there she was. Mo Gaffney, the talented lady who I clearly want to be best friends with, so wish me luck on that. Go get everything to do with Mo Gaffney, and thank you for listening. Keep listening, keep downloading, keep subscribing, keep reviewing. We'll see you next time.